Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 6. And starting in verse 16, the Word of God says, I think when we are in time of trial, when we are in time of temptation, perhaps, when we are in any kind of difficult time of transition, growth, any kind of time that challenges us on a personal level, a time when perhaps things are very new and exciting also, that can be also, where something very energized, and not in the wrong sense necessarily either, comes and we are there with it, and we are very excited about it. And this is something that is very tempting to people at this point. But Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord. Now, it wasn't Jeremiah's thoughts. It wasn't the thoughts of any person. It was a direct communication to believers from God. That's a very powerful thing in the Scriptures, when there is a direct communication from God to believers. He says, thus says the Lord. This is what God has to say to you. This is what God has to say to us. As we undergo the various warfare that we partake in, this week was very interesting in that regard in so many ways for many people. As we undergo the warfare, he says, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the eternal paths where the good old way is. You go to the road and you look at it, and you even weigh your options, and you see that you have options, you think. Maybe you don't think you do. The Spirit-filled believer never has options. The Spirit-filled believer has one thing that they cannot do anything but that one thing. But a believer may think he has options, and he's talking to people who are in that place, and they've been exercising their options for quite some time. Jeremiah, it was in his day that Israel was going into captivity. So he's talking to people, he said, stand by the road and look at your options. And then he said, and ask for the eternal paths, where the good old way is. Then walk in it. Now, he doesn't say just identify it. And he doesn't say do it on a good day. He says walk in it. He's telling them, use your volition and walk in the good old paths. Now, in today's age, even among Christians sometimes, this is not a popular message. Today's age is try the new. Go with the flow kind of a deal. Hey, it's today, it's not yesterday, it's today. The Bible is antiquated, isn't it? We don't really see things the way we used to see them anymore. Pastor Stevens used to mention sometimes, once in a blue moon, that when he started being a pastor, there were a number of very good pastors who were well known. One by one, they went off of the old way. They forsook things like soul winning. They forsook things like pure doctrine, finished work. They forsook conviction. They forsook things like no touch love. They forsook things like even no dating. That used to be common. I don't know why the Holy Spirit is bringing this, but he is. If you're going to date in this ministry, in this church, you're not going to be in this church comfortably for long. God said in Ruth 3:10 and 1 Corinthians 7:27, no dating. And I don't give a hooey who doesn't like it or who disagrees. God said it. Scripture and verse. The only times, two times it happened, the only times that somebody dated in the Scriptures, who was that? You remember? Samson and David. Three times. And Solomon. None of them did things that were right before God when they were doing that. None of them. And do you know why you don't date, even as a believer, although you may practice no-touch love? What love anyway? Do you even know what it means, that word? I doubt it if this is what you require to satisfy. But do you know why not? Even if you don't get physical with the person, when they dump you, you got baggage. And you're going to relate to your spouse someday according to baggage. You don't do that. You don't do that. People have the right to their opinions. But I'm the pastor of this church. And I'm telling you what the Bible says. And quite frankly, if your opinion disagrees, your problem is with God. Because I didn't write the Bible. He did. Chapter and verse. Now it's in your lap. As for the eternal paths where the good old way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you know someone who has no rest in their soul? They're not walking in the good old path. What does Matthew 11:29 say? It says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Do you know someone who's constantly scrambling in their heart to find meaning and purpose, fulfillment, acceptance, satisfaction? I'll show you someone who's walking outside the old path. I show you someone whose thinking is not according to the yoke that Christ has given them. But they've taken on a new yoke. They've taken on a new thing. They didn't go down the old path. They went on a new path. A new path where faith is not necessary, where trusting God and staying pure and thinking pure is not necessary. A new path where you can experiment and try things. After all, we're not legalistic, are we? We're not legalistic, but we sure do have conviction. You see, sometimes when people cry legalism, what they're saying is, I don't want the conviction anymore. Because this church isn't legalistic. This church just has good old-fashioned Bible convictions. And people listening to this may not like those good old-fashioned Bible convictions. That's okay, that's between you and God. But I'll tell you one thing, everybody I have ever met who's left good old-fashioned Bible convictions, if they were actually born again, that hand that they are sitting in knows how to chastise as well as to love. And it chastises because it loves. And that's not a threat, folks. That's simply the way it is. That's how things operate in the kingdom of God. We don't leave the old paths. We don't leave the old ways. We don't start changing our convictions because our emotions say, oh, well, since when are your emotions God? Better yet, since when are your emotions beyond God, above Him and greater than He? No, you stay to the old paths. You stay in the old ways. Because in those old ways, there is peace for your soul. There's rest for your soul. you stay in the old ways. And when I talk about convictions, I'm not just talking about convictions regarding purity, although certainly I'm talking about those also. But not just those convictions. I'm talking about convictions about grace and about mercy and about the finished work. Do you see yourself according to the finished work as who you actually are? Or do you see yourself according to the fact that when you have a bad day, you lose it? You know what? So many Christians are there. You're certainly not the only one. Half the people in this room do that. And the other half do it only every other day. I'm talking about convictions about seeing yourself the way God sees you. I'm talking about convictions about who you really are. I'm talking about convictions about the fact that God sees you precious and wonderful. And He said in Isaiah 43, "You're precious in my eyes and I have loved you." Is that also your conviction, that you are that valuable and that dear to God? That is part of the old ways. Those old ways are the ones that keep you pure. Knowing the love of God is the thing that keeps you from falling. What did God say to the Ephesians? He said, "You forgot your first love. You had a focus on doctrine and you retained your doctrine, but you forgot your first love." And though doctrine is crucial, and God commended them in many respects, but that was a biggie. Do you have conviction about the fact that God loves you right where you are? I mean, exactly in the midst of your fit, in the midst of putting your hand through the wall or blowing your top, right there in the middle of it, God loves you right where you are. And He still, go figure, still calls you precious in His eyes and tells you that He loves you. Is that your conviction also? If it isn't, you're going to struggle with the other things. That's the road we walk on, folks. If it isn't, you're going to struggle with the other things. Do you have a conviction about God's faithfulness to you? That no matter what happens, God will always be true to you. If you fall on your face, God will always pick you up. If you start doubting anything that He says whatsoever, He'll still be faithful to you, that He will not leave you or forsake you, that He will not dump you, He will not say, "Forget it, I've had enough." He doesn't do that. Do you have a conviction about that also? If you don't, you need one. Do you have a conviction about hearing the Word of God? Masticating it, meditating on it. Do you have a conviction about prayer? Pastor Stevens had a message one time about insulting silence. And he was talking about a man who was divorcing his wife, and not because she was wicked or evil or because she was living in immorality or anything like that. He was divorcing her because she practiced insulting silence toward him. He couldn't do it anymore. That pastor didn't condemn the man. You know what he said? "Do you practice insulting silence to God?" We do that as believers sometimes. We practice insulting silence toward God. When you have a decision to make or a thought, when you get up in the morning, do you have a conviction about acknowledging Him? Do you have a conviction that He's real and that He's there? Do you have a conviction that no matter where you go, He's right there with you? And He sees and He knows exactly where and how you are and what you're thinking and feeling, and He knows exactly the condition of your soul? Do you have a conviction about the fact that He is waiting to be gracious to you? Do you have a conviction that when you are backsliding or going down the wrong path, He's standing there like the father and the prodigal, He's standing there watching for any sign that you might turn? Do you have a conviction about that one? Do you have a conviction that you're His beloved? If you have a conviction that you're God's beloved, it will be difficult for you to give yourself to someone apart from His perfect will. Do you have a conviction about that one? It's not just don't. That's not how it works with God. It's not don't. It's know who He is, know Him, know His love, know His mercy, then you want. It's not that you don't, it's that you want if you really know the love of God. So do you have a conviction about the love of God? You see, He said, look at the roads and pick the one that is eternal. Pick the eternal path. Pick the eternal path. What is the eternal path? It's the path where I find His life. It's the path that brings me to the Word of God. It's the path that brings me to the body of Christ. It's the path that protects me from the world. It's the path that is life imparting. It's the path that has peace that passes all understanding and a joy that is pure and thorough. How do you have peace in the midst of difficulties? You go on to the eternal path. I don't feel it. I don't feel the eternal path. It's not a something you feel. I didn't really feel the road. When I feel the road as I'm driving down the road, I think there's something wrong with my car. Yet how many believers want to feel the road? Pick the eternal path. Pick faithfulness to the Word of God. How easy is it? And I'm not talking about when you have to work or a family vacation or something like that. Certainly we have to do those things sometimes. But if it's happening on a consistent basis, do you have a conviction about the Word of God? When God said, gather together much more as you see the day approaching. That's an eternal path. That's an eternal path. When somebody does something against you, do you have a conviction about forgiveness? That's an eternal path. We all have that happen to us from time to time. And God says, forgive, but not just forgive, but if you study it out, He says, forgive instantly and completely to where it does not enter into your thoughts. Why? Because this is the strange thing, isn't it? God says in Luke chapter 6, if you don't forgive that way, you won't be forgiven. How much do I have to be forgiven of? I need to learn how to forgive. I think every person alive could say that. How much do I have to be forgiven of? Then we need to learn how to forgive. Israel was in trouble. Israel didn't take the old paths. Israel took the new paths. Israel said, old hat. Word of God is old hat. The prophets are old hat. We're not interested so much anymore. There's something exciting on the horizon. Baal is on the horizon. There's something exciting on the horizon. Yeah, there was something on the horizon, all right. We're called the Babylonians. Who are the Babylonians in your life that are so exciting on the horizon? They come, they lure, they capture, and then they take you prisoner. But they said, we will not walk in it. Isn't that amazing? They heard the news of the old paths. They heard of the eternal ways. And they said, we're not interested. The old paths have no meaning to us. And they said, we're not going to walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying in verse 17, hear and obey the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen or obey. As a pastor, that's one of the most difficult things. Sometimes the pastors get together and they talk about the situations in their churches, not by name, but by principle. And you can see sometimes men's hearts breaking for the people in their congregations because they blew the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen to the trumpet, and we will not obey you, pastor. And not that pastors have the rule of people's lives. They don't. but they watch for their souls in Hebrews 13. And we are told to submit to them in 1 Peter, and also in Hebrews 13 we're told to submit to the elders. They watch for our soul. I can say, Pastor, I'm not interested. I can tell you one thing. Every time I met somebody who said, Pastor, I'm not interested, it didn't go well. I can think of 5 instances right now, and I'm not going to discuss them, but I can think of them right now. It didn't go well. They left the old paths of staying properly built up and submitted in the body of Christ. Do you know why God gives a covering? Because I need one. Do you know why I need one? Because I have an adversary, a personal adversary. Yes, you individually have a personal adversary, and he doesn't even want you to know that he's there. If you can be unaware of your enemy can kill you. Isn't that true? Isn't that what they teach you in military training? Like, be aware of the enemy. Be prepared for the enemy. Be aware for the enemy. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, there's no... Exactly. I was thinking about that. But isn't it like snipers? Isn't it like snipers? Where somebody starts shooting at you and you don't know where the shooting is coming from. And you try to take cover, but it's very difficult because you don't know where the enemy is. You just know that one is out there, but you can't tell if he's in front of you or behind you or to the left or to the right. Satan is like that also. Satan is an enemy who is like a sniper. And so God gives us a covering. You see, we're not going to get out of the battlefield, and we're not going to get out of being shot at. But you know what the covering is like? Say that you are in the battlefield and there is many snipers, because the demons have entire armies. And so you don't have just one sniper. You may have thousands of snipers and you can't see a one of them. Do you know what a covering is? Imagine if there is a bulletproof dome and God just lowers the dome over you. You're not going to get hurt. You're covered. This is the nature of covering. This is why he says, submit to them that have the rule over you, because they watch for your soul. And they watch in the horizon because they are trained watchmen. And they see the enemy approaching. Sometimes that happens in our church. You see the enemy approaching and you blow the trumpet, and sometimes people respond and sometimes they don't respond so quickly. But the enemy is still there. As the pastor, you have to be a watchman. Gentlemen, if you are ever called to be pastors, your number one role is to be watchmen. You study and you watch and you pray. Why? There's an enemy who wants to take people. And sometimes he takes people because... Why? They actually oppose themselves, Paul said. They don't know that they oppose themselves. That's the nature of deception. But they actually oppose themselves. They go against their own soul, usually because their emotions have gone after something that they think will satisfy but does not satisfy. And so they leave the old paths, and the result is devastating. Israel left the old paths and the result was Babylon, and they left the old paths again and the result was Rome. The results are devastating when we leave the old paths. In Proverbs 22, And verse 28, the Word of God says, remove not the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. This is what spiritual fathers do. You may like it, you may not like it. I think the people here do like it. But people listening on the internet, you may like it and you may not like it. But if you have a pastor who is a spiritual father, in other words, you have a pastor who is imparting life to you. You have a pastor who is preaching the pure Word of God in its full counsel. You have a pastor who is preaching the finished work, grace message of God. And then you also have a pastor who teaches some conviction to boot. You know what you have? You have a father. And the father sets landmarks for you. And you may say to yourself, old hat, been there, done that, heard it all before. Never, by the way, say to yourself, heard it all before. You've heard nothing at all. Never. Pastor Stevens used to get so mad, somebody would go and say, I heard that before. You never heard that before. He'd get mad at them. He'd let them have it. He said, you never heard that before. Since when did the Holy Spirit at this particular moment, in this particular time, say that particular thing for your particular situation today? When did that happen before? Don't you tell me you heard that. You might have heard the verses uttered before, but you didn't hear that before. No, these are the ancient landmarks. And they are called ancient landmarks for a very good reason. They are the foundations. They are the things that we have that had imparted to us from the beginning. You don't depart from those. You keep them. You hold them. Those are the paths of eternal life. And if you are backslidden, go back to the road and examine the options you have been taking. And then go for the one that says eternal life road on it. And you walk in it, Jeremiah said. You walk in it. What happens if I don't? In Proverbs 23:10, remove not the old landmarks and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Then you act as an orphan. The prodigal son acted like an orphan. He left his father. It didn't go well for him. By the way, when you do go off the old paths, one thing is for sure. If you are a believer, the old path will chasten you. It will humble you. Better to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Because that new path will humble you if you go off the old one. Sin is the great detective. It will find you out. And this isn't a threat, folks. This is actually something different. This is the love of God speaking to hearts of young people. All of us in this room are quite young. Don't you think that's true? Absolutely, it's true. This is the heart of God speaking to people. Stay on the old paths. Don't depart from them. Don't enter into the fields of the fatherless. That's talking about a lifestyle like those who have no father. Decisions like those who have no father. Stay in the old paths. They're life to you. And they're peace to your soul. But you don't understand. I've been in the old path and it's not easy in the old path. Nobody promised you ease. Oh, you think you're going to get ease in the new path, do you? Oh, I don't think so. The new path doesn't promise you anything. The old path promises you peace and rest for your soul. But you know what the new path promises? The wages of sin. Oh, but I'm not sinning. I'm not going to do anything immoral. Didn't you realize that whatsoever is not of faith is sin? That simply not responding to God because He says so is sin? And it's death? Eve didn't do anything immoral. she just ate from the wrong tree. Satan lures a carrot, but it's only a bait. And then he doesn't even give you the carrot. That's the bizarre thing. He promises you a carrot, you get baited, and then he takes away the carrot. I know people that has happened to many of them. Satan has offered them a carrot and just given them the bait. And they don't get anything, including what they used to have. Folks, this is life stuff. This isn't just behavior. We're not talking about behavior here. This is life stuff. Stay on the old path. This is life stuff. The things that you have learned from your pastor in the Word of God, don't forsake those things. They protect you and they give you life. They are the old paths. In 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast to the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. The pastor is talking to his young disciple. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast to the words you have heard from me. Hold fast to them. Don't let them go. Don't start changing your mind. Don't say, oh, new, improved, whatever. There is no new, improved. Tell me, how are you going to improve on the kingdom? You hold fast. In Job 24, some remove the landmarks. Some remove the landmarks, and they violently take away flocks. Satan will always be sure that he tries to bring someone to you who will remove your landmark. You know what I find interesting? I don't know if you guys, I know some of you, I'm sure, remember this. And this is not to deride any group, but sin is what it is. But what I find interesting is how the homosexuals used to want to come out of the closet. Why? I mean, I never got up in front of people and touted the fact that I was straight. Go to a party, excuse me, I would really like to make an announcement. I'm straight. But they felt this need to get up in front of people and say, I am gay. Why is this? Because it was a challenge to the authority and conviction that society had in their life. And they were saying, okay, now I challenge you. Reject me or accept my lifestyle. It was a deception. And they will do this. They will say, reject me or accept my lifestyle. And it's an intimidation tactic to manipulate right out of conviction. What's the result? God forbid you say that homosexuality is wrong. What happens to people today? Where did it come from? Coming out of the closet. God loves the homosexual, yes. But just like any other sin, He hates sin. And He hates that one too. Just like all of them. And He'll save the homosexual in a heartbeat if that person will simply turn to Him. But He hates the sin. Just like He hates all of them. But isn't that what people do? They live in something that is aside from definition, from the Word of God, from conviction. And they live in it, so, and like the conviction's wearing on them, and so they have to now respond to it, and they say, I'm living in this form of sin. What you gonna do about it? It's an intimidation tactic. Don't listen to that garbage. You know what I'm going to do about it? I say, God loves you, you're in sin. Get right with God. That's what I'll do about it. It's simple as that. God loves you, get right. Don't leave the old paths. No, look for the way that has that's the eternal path, where the good old way is. By the way, the good old, not the good new, the good old way. This is why the Word of God says in Malachi, don't meddle with those who are given to change. Don't meddle with them. Don't touch them. Don't talk to them. Don't meddle with them. Given to change, forget it. Don't meddle with them. It's a good old path. When was it established? Before the world began. It is the oldest path there is. It's a good old path. And invariably, those people who will remove landmarks in their own lives will then start to try to remove somebody else's landmark. In Deuteronomy 19:14, the Word of God says, you shall not remove your neighbor's landmark. Why? Because if you remove their landmark, they lose their inheritance. And this is true for us as believers too. If we let somebody else remove our landmark, we lose our inheritance. We lose our rewards. Folks, rewards are not unconditional. There are only a few rewards that we cannot lose. The cups of cold water we cannot lose. But the ones about faith responses to God, those we can lose. Grace will never quit on us. Love will never fail us. But rewards are not a guarantee. You don't remove your neighbor's landmark by removing your own. Nobody leaves the old paths and then says, everybody's greater on me. It doesn't work that way. In Deuteronomy 10:23, the Word of God says, hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. The old path. The old paths are the paths of life. You don't listen to people who challenge conviction. And in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, you don't listen, you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't walk in the counsel of those who don't have precision in doctrine, precision in conviction, precision in grace, precision in the finished work. You don't listen to them. You don't hear them, you don't listen to them. What do you listen to? In Isaiah 30 and verse 21, you listen to the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way, walk in it. This is it right here. This is the path, walk in it. Folks, we're defining things for you tonight. Walk in the ways of God. And don't turn to the left or to the right. Don't say to yourself, oh, my pastor is old news. I want new news. Oh, you've gone onto a path that will lead to destruction. Come back to the old path if you happen to be there. No, there's a way that the Bible says things are done. God has a mind and a thought and a view. God has these things and He wrote them down for us in His book. And we live by every word of God. Not as a law, but because it's a love letter. How many young grooms have sent their bride a love letter, and she clings to it, and she lives by it, and he says, you know, I love the smell of your perfume, and she goes on and buys a gallon of that perfume. Like, isn't that what happens? It's our love letter from God. Do you know why God gives the old paths? Because He loves. He loves and He knows who you are. And He knows your name. And He knows your frame. And He knows your thoughts even before you think them. He knows you intimately. And so He has prepared old paths for you. Paths that are proven and true. And they may not appeal to your sense of excitement, but your sense of excitement is often a thing of the emotions responding to the flesh. But the funny thing is, there is a sense of excitement in the kingdom. And there is a sense of urgency in the kingdom. And there is a sense of joy in the kingdom. And there is, although we don't go after a spirit of adventure, but there is adventure in the kingdom. You get into a little warfare, you'll know what adventure means. But the good kind also. Where He takes you and He calls you and He leads you to places that you would not have dreamt. And He goes above and beyond all you can ask or think on the old paths. The Word of God says in Malachi 3:6 that God doesn't change. He doesn't change. And either do the old paths. Don't abandon the old paths, folks. They are eternal. And there's only one eternal path. It's the straight path. The believer who fails ultimately fails because he's abandoned the old path. If you don't abandon the old path, you are eminently protected and cared for and provided for. Eminently taken care of. Because it's God's path. Amen?